Hello, and welcome to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. Notice that I didn't say podcast. The problem is, I think a lot of people hear the word podcast and think that an iPod is required for this kind of thing. And obviously the fact that you are listening to this means that you got it figured out one way or the other. Either you have an iPod or you just don't care. But you might want to tell your friends that aren't so sure. A lot of people still think you got to have an iPod. And that's not true. There's a bunch of ways to listen to the show. Everything from iTunes, with or without an iPod, to just straight listening it from the website or whatever. Lots of different ways. All you need is a computer and a decent internet connection. I do encourage you to use iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Like I said, there's no iPod required, but then iTunes will automatically download new shows for you. It makes the numbers on FeedBurner look better. That's kind of what I designed, the way the name of the show is for and everything. It's the way it looks on iTunes, whatever. So if you can install iTunes, go ahead. And there's a link on the MotoGPOD website for iTunes One Click. All right, there's enough distraction. In any case, I'm your host, Bob Hayes. Today is Monday, the 7th of November, 2005, and this is our Valencia GP race report. It's going to be a real quick show today, just a little bit of talking about Valencia GP, the last race of this season. Very sad. But before we move on to the race results, you might remember that on Friday's show, I was talking a little bit about Hayden and Edwards' comparative popularity here in the United States and how it seems to be that Hayden is more popular with the U.S. audience. And I'm sort of asking for some feedback of possibly why that is. I put out a few of my thoughts and a few of other listeners. And I got a little bit of feedback, including a comment from an anonymous female listener who said that Hayden is more popular just because he's hot. But the gist of it was that Hayden's background in the U.S. and racing in the U.S. in AMA series and things like that is why he is, you know, more popular. And I tend to agree. Listener Chris Neal wrote, "Not as many people followed MotoGP until Hayden went over. And what about John Hopkins and Kenny Roberts? Most in the United States don't even know how many U.S. riders there are in MotoGP." And Chris has a real good point there. And basically, like I said, I tend to agree. And then another Chris, a close personal friend of mine, Chris Gerlitz, wrote this one. He says, "Nicky versus Colin. Don't care. What about the quiet masses that are mourning the loss of Kenny Jr.? Now I have to hope that Junior comes back on Senior's bike next year and watch him battle for 14th place all year long and end up with maybe 3 points. It's mortifying." So, yeah, that's true. Sorry about that. But you just never know which rider, you know, someone's going to be a fan of, and the reasons why they are a fan of that person. You sort of get to know them through magazines or television articles or however. And, you know, you say, "Hey, I want to follow this guy." But it's the guys that we get to know that we really do tend to follow, but it doesn't matter who we like or not. They're all top-notch. They're all out there putting on a good show. All right. Enough of that. Let's get on to the qualifying report and the race report. All right. Talk a little bit about the qualifying session. It's been an exciting season, full of surprises, and this qualifying session at Valencia was absolutely no exception. It was very, very surprising. Sadie Gibernau had the fastest time in the session with a lap of 131.874. Put Sete on the pole, and also means he wins a shiny new BMW M5 because he won the best qualifier competition where they combine all the qualifying times from every race and include the Catalunya winter test session. And it's a little surprising because you would have thought, you know, that Rossi would be the best qualifier, but no, Sete actually out-qualified him by a fairly considerable margin. And it's just sort of interesting that shows that Sete's just got the pace in qualifying. He can do real well out there. The guy's an excellent rider. But something happens on race day. And like I said in that interview with Brian Driver, a lot of times I think you make your own luck, so I'm not going to subscribe to the, "Boy, Sete's just had terrible luck this season." Although he has had some that were just out and out, you know, luck. But a lot of the time, it's just him. Marco Melandri, second on the grid with a 132.111, followed by Nicky Hayden with a 132.217. So this makes another all-Honda front row, just like we had at the last race at Istanbul. The two Telefonica movie stars and Nicky Hayden on the Repsol factory Honda, all there on the front row. Carlos Checa, fourth on the grid, with a time of 132.374, followed by Max Biaggi in fifth with a 132.384. He's only a hundredth of a second off. Colin Edwards on the Yamaha, 132.456, followed by Loris Caparossi, recovering from his Phillip Island injuries on the Ducati. He got a 132.482. Alex Barros on the first of the Camel Hondas, 132.518, followed by Shinya Nakano in ninth position on a Kawasaki, 132.663. And then we had Makoto Tomita on the Konica Minolta Honda in 10th with a 132.682. 11th spot, John Hopkins on the Suzuki, 132.785. 12th spot, Alex Hoffman, Shinya's teammate on the Kawasaki, with a 132.966. Then Tony Elias, who apparently I'd been pronouncing his name wrong, and I apologize for that. Tony Elias on the Fortuna Yamaha, the first of those, with a 133.005. And followed in 14th spot by Nobuatsu Aoki on the other Suzuki, riding for the injured Kenny Roberts Jr. He had a 133.393. Now, you may have noticed a name that I have not yet mentioned, and this is not a mistake on my part, although I do make mistakes, but this one is definitely not a mistake. It was 15th position, the fifth row of the grid, last spot, Valentino Rossi on the other factory Yamaha with a 133.503. Rossi had just a disastrous weekend. He was chasing some problems down that they just could not narrow down and figure out exactly what was going on. His times throughout the weekend were never all that great. Then he crashed in the qualifying session with about 10 minutes to go or so remaining, and although he managed to come back out on his second machine, he just couldn't quite get the pace up to turn in a really fast lap. During that crash, he said himself that he thought he was doing well. He thought he was on his way to a fast lap, as pushing maybe a little bit too hard, just barely touched the front brake, and bam, down he went. So that's a very unfortunate qualifying session for Valentino Rossi. I'm sure he was a little bit frustrated with that. 15th position, that's a long way back. His worst qualifying in a long time, except not counting Qatar last year where he was put back to the back of the grid. Okay, 16th spot, Ryuichi Kiyonari, on the other Camel Honda, riding for, yet again, the substitute for Troy Bayliss, our third substitute after Shane Byrne and Christopher Milan, like I talked about last week. Ryuichi had a time of 133.846. 17th, Ruben Chaus on the other Fortuna Yamaha, 134.874, followed by Robbie Rolfo on the last year's Ducati ride, 134.978. James Ellison on the first of the Blatta WCM machines, 135.158. And then followed by Curtis Roberts returning to MotoGP on the Team Roberts Proton KR. He had a 135.374 to put him 20th on the grid. And the last tail end of the grid, 21st position, Franco Battaini on the other Blatta WCM, outqualified by Curtis Roberts. And Franco had a time of 135.712. So that's our lineup there. All right, time for the race report. Now, when the red lights went out for the final time in 2005, Valentino Rossi vaulted up from 15th position on the grid to make up five places going into turn one in 10th position. At the front of the pack, meanwhile, Gibernau had gotten a terrible start, and he fell back to fourth position behind Melandri, Hayden, and Checa going into turn one, but Gibernau did manage to pass Checa at the next turn, and he settled into third position there. Danton Ducati's Robbie Rolfo didn't even make it past turn one on that very first lap after he tagged the back of a Kawasaki in that turn and went down in a very impressive crash right into the gravel. Luckily, he was not injured, and he did not take out any other riders with him, but he sure looked really pissed off about the whole thing. Back up front, still on lap one, Rossi moved up two more positions, putting him in eighth behind Melandri, Hayden, Gibernau, Biaggi, Checa, Caparossi, and Barros. Rossi put a nice move on Barros on lap two, but then he went a little wide a corner or two later, and that allowed Barros back past him. Rossi had to repeat that move on Barros on lap three, and that time he made it stick. So now he's moved up to seventh position. At the front of the pack, Melandri, Hayden, and Gibernau were starting to break away. Then on lap four, Gibernau suddenly sat up and ran wide through a corner. Riders started passing him like crazy, and we all sort of thought, nope, here we go again. But this time it wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't a lack of motion lotion that put the curse on Gibernau. But this time his engine just done blowed up in a cloud of white smoke pouring out of the tailpipe. So Gibernau's hope for victory in Spain went up in that cloud of smoke, and his race was over. And if you saw the body language, you could tell that he'd had enough. I mean, that guy's head is so messed up. I really hope that he can recover for next season on the Ducati, which, by the way, that decision is official. It was officially announced this weekend. He is going to Ducati. Back on the track, Melandri and Hayden were now breaking away, several seconds ahead of the pack of riders that were all jostling for third and fourth places and so forth. And by the sixth lap, Rossi had moved up into third, picking off all those riders one by one in a display of hard riding that actually kind of affected the later portions of the race a little bit, because he's riding so hard he may have used up his tires. I don't want to spoil anything yet. But like I said, sixth lap, Rossi's now in third position. Outstanding performance. He was followed by Checa in fourth. And it's just amazing. But Melandri and Hayden were not waiting around for Rossi. Melandri turned in a new lap record trying to break away for Hayden. And for a minute or two, it kind of looked like he was going to do it, be able to break away. But Hayden managed to stick to him, and the two riders kept up that gap between them and Rossi way back in third. Race pretty much continued that way through the middle laps, with Hayden once or twice maybe showing a wheel to Melandri and kind of looking like he was going to make a pass or at least make an attempt, but he was just not quite able to do it. You know, he managed to keep up with him, but he couldn't get quite close enough for a pass, couldn't outbreak Melandri. Then around lap 20 or so, Rossi broke away from Checa in fourth, and he made up a lot of time on the leaders. But they both turned up the heat as well, keeping that gap to around 3.5 seconds. Melandri and Hayden were separated by a fraction of a second going into the last few laps. And then Melandri managed to open up enough of a gap between him and Hayden that it looked like Hayden was done, that he just wouldn't be close enough to try to pass. Then, when Melandri and Hayden are coming up on lapper Franco Battaini on the WCM, this very, very slightly sort of altered things. Melandri and Hayden were both went around him in a turn, but it looked like it gave them both a tiny bit of trouble, you know, just enough to throw off the rhythm a fraction, and it allowed Hayden to close up the gap. So now we've got Melandri and Hayden right up there. And by that last lap, Hayden had caught up, and he was right on Melandri's tail. Then Melandri made a small mistake, pretty much his first of the race, and that tiny wobble really looked like it was going to be enough to allow Hayden to snatch that victory going into the last turn of the last lap. Melandri knew this. He went into that final turn with a really tight defensive line, trying to repair the damage from that little bit of mistake, and that defensive line almost looked like it might have caught Hayden kind of unawares. But Hayden either recovered, or his plan all along had been to do so, or whatever. He went a little bit wide into that last turn. He was hoping to pass Melandri on the exit, and for a split second, it looked like he was going to do it. But Melandri crossed the line less than a tenth of a second ahead of Hayden, picking up his second career win, also his second win in two races. So good job to Macho. He, you know, and had Hayden had a little bit more time between the turn and the finish line, he might have been able to draft past him, but I kind of don't think so. You know, it was a very good race from both of them, and Hayden just wasn't quite close enough. But Hayden's second position does get him his fourth podium in a row. Very good performance. He was clearly disappointed about not winning it, but, you know, this is how it is. There's always a winner, and then there's a bunch of losers. This does mean that Melandri clinches second place in the championship, but that wasn't really in a whole lot of doubt after the first few laps of the race, unless, you know, Melandri had had some kind of disaster, because Hayden had to make up 9 points on Melandri in this race for him to get second in the championship. And for him to do that, he would have had to, like, win it and have Melandri come in third or worse. So, like I said, unless Melandri had had a disaster after the first few laps, it was pretty much a done deal. But Hayden does finish the championship in third for the entire season, which is his best season yet. So he's doing real well. He's definitely improved and warming up, and Melandri's looking strong as well. These guys are the future of MotoGP, and it's a good future. Rossi takes third spot on the podium, crossed the line 2.8 seconds behind Hayden. This means that Rossi did not quite match Mick Doohan's record of 12 wins in a single season, but considering his disastrous qualifying sessions, I think that he should be pretty happy with all of that. Checa took fourth, 18.7 seconds behind Melandri and about 16 seconds behind Rossi, demonstrating once more, though, that the Ducati does seem to be improving, able to keep him in fourth, and also showing Checa's home track knowledge. Varos came in fifth, Biaggi sixth, Caparossi a very respectable 7th, recovering from his nasty crash at Phillip Island a few weeks ago, and after missing the race there in Turkey. 8th place went to Colin Edwards, putting him 4th in the World Championship, while Makoto Tomata and Tony Elias took 9th and 10th. Shinya Nakano came in 11th on his Kawasaki, riding with that injury that he'd sustained in qualifying and practice sessions, actually, that actually left his race start in doubt. But he managed to make it on race day and came in 11th, not a bad performance for the Kawasaki. And then Camel Honda substitute Ryuichi Kanari got 12th, just ahead of Suzuki's John Hopkins in 13th. Alex Hoffman finished his last ever race on a Kawasaki, possibly his last ever MotoGP race, in 14th position, and Ruben Chaus took 15th, also on his last race on a Yamaha, and possibly his last race in MotoGP also. Then Franco Battiaini finished in 16th on the WCM. Suzuki wildcard Nobuatsu Aoki, riding for the injured Kenny Roberts Jr. on the Suzuki, had a mechanical earlier in the race, and DNF'd, and then James Ellison on the WCM, and Curtis Roberts riding the Team KR Proton V5, also had mechanical DNFs, so they did not finish, along with Seta Gibernau and Robbie Rolfel. All in all, a very good last race for the season, lots of fun to watch, and I think the sellout crowd there at Valencia, 124,500 people, also enjoyed watching it. Been a real good race, been a real good season, so we really had a lot of fun with that. All right, that's going to do it for today. If you didn't listen to last Friday's episode, dated November 4th, so 2005-1104, I encourage you to do so. It was a really good episode. We had the second part of our interview with Speed TV's Brian Drebber, and I thought that was real interesting. Plus, I announced the winners of the contest to get one of two copies of the Luscious American Road Racer 2006 calendar, which was a really fun little contest. And if you didn't win that contest, sorry about that, but you should head on over to AmericanRoadRacer.com and place an order and buy a copy. It's a beautiful calendar, lots of cool photos, looks really, really good hanging on a wall. It's a nice nice calendar, nice addition to any wall. And the previous episodes always do show up in iTunes, you know, the last eight or so, and they're also available on the MotoGPOD.com website in the episode archive and a few on the front page and all that. So let's use up some bandwidth. Make sure you guys listen to that, particularly the last few episodes with these interviews. As far as the MotoGPOD show in the off-season, now that we're finished with the 2005 MotoGP season, I do still plan to continue doing the weekly Friday shows with, you know, whatever news I can rummage up about MotoGP and all motorcycle road racing, you know, AMA, World Superbike. If anything happening in some of the other series like British Superbike or whatever, I will try and cover that. So we'll just kind of see what's happening. Plus, I have some plans for some other features that I'm going to do, rider bios and maybe some sort of historic races, things like that, tech stuff. We'll just kind of see. I'm going to play it by ear. I don't have a lot of truly solid plans at this point, but I do want to continue doing the show and hopefully, you know, keep it interesting. But then if it starts where I'm just sort of coming out here and putting up 10 minutes of not that much interesting stuff, we might slow down. We're just going to see how that works out. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to do quite a few more good shows. In any case, thank you for downloading this show. Thank you very much for listening to it. And thank you to everyone who sent in an email with comments or whatever this past week. Appreciate it. And if you would like to send in a comment, the address for email is always motogpod@motogpod.com. Thank you very much. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD isn't affiliated with any of them.